You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
I'm Tristan Taramino, and this is Sex Out Loud.
That's why I'm literally writing a whole book about my gender.
My mom and I were on BBC together talking about sex work and disability, which is something I never thought I would ever do.
Where do we learn about how to react to bodily fluid?
People have abortions more than we want to admit, and abortion is beyond healthcare. It's really body autonomy.
Someone talks about porn ruining sex. The question for me is, which porn?
I don't want anybody to fetishize my Jewishness who wouldn't stand next to me at a march.
I just wanted to show polyamory in a way that looks like polyamory.
If you're excited by sexual pleasure and sexual politics, you've come to the right place.
I've been this radical queer agnostic theologian for a long time.
They think that Muslims don't have sex.
There is a very specific history of racism and anti-blackness in this country.
I don't know who started this myth that after people are sexually assaulted, they never want to fornicate again.
We really don't think that change happens without knowing what we're for and not just what we're against.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, it's the month of May, which means a whole bunch of things. First, the month of May is dedicated to masturbation. So let's kick that month off right. And May is also my birthday month. So May is just kind of full of things I love: my birthday, presents, and masturbation. This entire episode is brought to you by Satisfyer in celebration of Masturbation May. Satisfyer makes pleasure products that incorporate groundbreaking technology with elegant designs and delivers them at accessible prices. Their mission is one I talk about on the show all the time. Everyone deserves to experience sexual wellness. Later in the show, I'm going to bring on my friend Tanya, and we're going to talk about her experiences with their products. So stay tuned for that. And I've also got a promo code for you because, of course, I do. So listen to the show, and you will get that coming up. Let me tell you about today's guest. Vic Liu designs things that should exist. She believes that people would be happier and safer if they weren't embarrassed about their genitals. She also believes in the magic of graphic design to break down complex information and emotions and make the world a more empathetic place. She designs, writes, cooks, reads, and befriends neighborhood cats. She's the creator and illustrator of the new book, Bang, Masturbation for All Genders and Abilities. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Vic.
Hi, Tristan. Thanks for having me.
So I was talking to someone recently about your book. I got your book and I love it. And it's been out on my coffee table.
Brilliant. That's what Annie Sprinkle wanted.
Right, exactly. And I actually saw my first person. I've been vaccinated, and I saw my first person without a mask a week ago, which was really cool and bizarre. So only really my lover has seen the book out, because that's the only person who comes to my house. So my friend was here and said, "Hey, wait, do people need a book to know about masturbation and how to do it?" Now, my knee-jerk reaction was, yes, they do. But, and I have all sorts of feelings and opinions about why. But let's start there. Do people need a book to know about masturbation and how to do it?
Well, yes. I think that one of the most important things about approaching Bang is it's not just about a how-to, right? It does start with a how-to. It has all of the possible how-tos you might want in a primer for masturbation, which is really important because we don't talk about masturbation. Usually people figure it out on their own, in their own bedroom, in isolation. So there's actually a lot that you could learn. But crucially, I think what it really offers is a place to be reaffirmed in the most private parts of your sexual identity. It's so powerful to read printed on a page that someone's supporting you and celebrating you and how you're experiencing your own body, no matter what body you have. And I think that it's something that's really missing in our culture, especially because most people start masturbating at a very early age. They do it in isolation. They often encounter shame or deal with societal stigma when they're first figuring things out. So it's really wonderful to return to a safe space that welcomes you and is so warm and loving and cheers you on in your own journey towards exploring your body. And I think another crucial thing is that it allows you to really learn more about other people's sexual experiences without all the confounding factors of some other body in place, right? So you get to think about how someone else experiences their body from their perspective as you read the book, which is the basis for sexual empathy.
Mm-hmm. And as we know, I remember when the Surgeon General in the 90s, Dr. Joyce Lynn Elders, said, yeah, I think masturbation should be taught as part of sex ed. And she was promptly fired. Well, she was asked to step down. So it's not even something in basic sex ed that's happening in our schools right now. I mean, it is really the safest kind of sex there is. Right. And we know people at that age are exploring their bodies, but in some cases, it's not even mentioned.
Right.
So there is no, there's no info for anyone, even in their, general health class.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Ironically, Joyce Lynn Elders was asked to step down by Bill Clinton, which, history got the best of in some ways. And I think that it's absolutely insane. It is absolutely insane that we don't talk about it, given that 90% of people masturbate by the time that they're 29.
That's a good stat.
Yeah. Yeah. In America, that is. And that is also based on a study that notes masturbation is one of the most drastically underreported sexual acts. So even in anonymity, we feel embarrassed or ashamed of reporting that we masturbate.
Okay, that speaks to the stigma, right? So there's a bunch of things about masturbation. There's a double standard in terms of gender, who masturbates, who is actually allowed to masturbate and encouraged to masturbate in our society, especially if you have certain identities, you have a certain kind of a body. So let's talk stigma.
Yeah, I think that we all know there's a stigma. We have all encountered the stigma of masturbation. There's a reason why we don't bring it up in a coffee shop, right, often, or feel uncomfortable talking about it with someone that we don't know. The thing is, what we don't really talk about is how the stigma is so pervasive and complex. It goes beyond just the moment before you masturbate. It follows you throughout your life, throughout your sexual journey, through all stages of life. For example, I know I masturbate, my romantic partners masturbate, but it's still unconventional to talk about masturbation with your romantic partners. And that is a matter of trying to make a conversation without the sexual language that has been established.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's funny, right? Because it's like if you're already sexually intimate with someone and they've seen you naked or somewhat naked and they've felt some body parts, the idea that you then can't talk about, still we can't have these open, honest conversations about sex is, it just makes me sad that people aren't talking more. Right? Especially with maybe you don't want to bring up masturbation at Thanksgiving, around the dinner table, which is fine. Although I think it should be part of a regular conversation. So you should talk about sports and politics and masturbation. I think it is good dinner conversation. But we still aren't having those conversations. And as a result, there are still these weird myths about masturbation that are floating around. And like you said before, we can sometimes laugh when we hear myths about something, right? We can be like, oh my God, people believe that? Or can you believe that? Or can you believe that I thought that when I was however old? But myths are part of our sort of language and our culture. And I feel like sometimes we internalize them without even realizing it, right? That we hear a thing and we take that in. And, you know, and I think this is especially true of very religious people who have to get over a lot of stigma and shame around sexuality and masturbation for that matter, because it was sort of drilled into their heads that it was a sin. And so no matter if you have a sort of rational part of your brain that says, is this really a sin? We've internalized that. We've internalized these ideas about masturbation, and you dispel a bunch of these myths in the book.
Yeah, definitely. I think it comes back to human nature. We are storytellers at the heart of how humans are built. It is how we figure out how to cooperate with a shared narrative. It is how we figure out what foods to eat and what foods not to eat, what berries are poisonous. Because you want to believe someone when they say that a berry is poisonous. You don't really want to go eat the poisonous berry. Unfortunately, when it comes to masturbation, it is this awkward intersection of humans trying to rise above their bodies. A lot of the stigma came about. First of all, the stigma is pretty modern. It hasn't been universal across cultures, across history. And for example, in ancient Egypt, one of the creation myths is that Atum created the world by masturbating himself and ejaculating on earth, and out of his seed came the world. So when your culture is based on this idea of masturbation, it's a lot harder to make people feel awful about it. However, in Victorian England and America, there was a rise in urbanism, and having people right next to each other in small apartments and cities for the first time, rather than your sprawling rural farmhouses, meant that people were trying to figure out very quick ways to establish ground rules of what it means to be a neighbor or civilized, which is kind of where a lot of these myths come from. So things like masturbation will make your palms hairy, or masturbation will make you go blind, or honestly, there were a ton of books written on how masturbation is slowly sapping your strength as a young human, and you will age quickly and die, like through onanism. That's what they referred to it as. All of these were meant to try to fence people in to what was considered an appropriate sort of behavior. And these all sound ridiculous now, but there are so many myths that we believe almost subconsciously these days. So a huge one is the idea of virginity. When people masturbate for the first time, it is a very common experience for them to feel dirtied or like they've been changed by the experience in some way. And that is one that has kind of snuck into people's brains, regardless of whether or not they're religious. And it is a really hard one to dispel, because virginity is an idea. It is something that no matter if what other people say, what truly matters is what's in your own heart. And I think that's the nature of the hardest myths to dispel. It's about using people's emotions to control them in a way that society would rather you behave.
Right. And just about being dirty, which I think also connects to this idea that our genitals are dirty, are scary, are dangerous. And if we are actively engaging them, we're bad ourselves, right? Yeah. Okay, that seems like a natural break. So let's take a break. I again want to thank Satisfyer for sponsoring this episode in celebration of Masturbation May. I've talked about Satisfyer on the show before, but I want to just remind you that they make fantastic pleasure products. You know, when we're confident in our ability to masturbate and explore our bodies, we can take some of the pressure off of our partners to be responsible for our pleasure. It really does expand the range of pleasure to be a collaborative effort and can ultimately help us and our partners see the unlimited potential to sourcing pleasure in a relationship, and I would say also outside of one, with yourself, a relationship with yourself. Plus, Satisfyer's new line of products are Bluetooth enabled to connect with their award-winning app, the Satisfyer Connect app. It works with Android, Apple, and iWatch. Hello. It can turn your phone into a remote control for you or your partner. You can control your own vibration programs. It saves them for you, but you can also do like a video call with a partner where they control the toy. And this is like really perfect for a lot of us with long distance partners who want to have sexy time. And, you know, there is now technology that lets us do that. It's this is cyber sex in its best form, because it's interactive. And imagine someone miles and miles and miles away from you controlling your sexual pleasure. To celebrate Masturbation May, Satisfyer is offering our lucky listeners 40% off and free shipping for all app-enabled devices when you go to satisfyer.com and enter code Tristan40, that's the number 40, at checkout. Again, if you are looking for one of these great new devices, all the app-enabled devices, go to Satisfyer. Let me spell it for you. SATISFYER.com and use the code Tristan40 for 40% off and free shipping. So we're celebrating Masturbation May. And I'm talking again to Vic Liu, who is the creator of this fantastic book, which makes a great gift, by the way, called Bang, Masturbation for All Genders and Abilities. So Vic, this, you know, I read this in your bio, graphic design is clearly one of the ways that you communicate. So you brought that approach to this topic. You create a very specific kind of book that has a lot of design elements and art. This is not a book of words and words and words and only words on the page. So tell me why that approach works for you and what you're hoping people can sort of take from it.
So to explain my approach, I think we'll have to go a little bit into my background. I studied international relations in undergrad, which might be very surprising for people. And it was in those studies that I realized how esoteric and exclusive text can be. It is very elitist. We hide and bury so much important information in text, and it's inequitable to expect people to be able to navigate text intuitively in a way that isn't intimidating. So I really pivoted to graphic design because, unlike text, graphic design is so emotional. It is intuitive in a way that if you look at graphic design, you'll be able to understand emotions, tone of voice, the general setting. It just as a novel has a tone of voice and a setting, you can sense that within the colors and the lines and the shapes of the page. And I truly believe that it allows information to be more democratically shared. It is more accessible. You don't have to feel comfortable reading a ton of text. And it offers a lot of tools to communicate information in a way that audiences can feel is accessible or approachable. It doesn't ask you to have as much imagination. It helps you with your attention span. It makes things skimmable so you can really figure out quickly which sections you want to dive in deeply on and focus your attention there. And I very much thought that this would be the best approach for Bang. I brought it to Bang because I thought that graphic design does what I want the book to do, which is to make the readers feel safe and held and like they're talking to a friend, to really communicate this atmosphere of a warm and inviting and encouraging space.
It also feels digestible. I want to tell people that. It's like, first of all, it's very aesthetically pleasing.
Thank you.
and it has a sort of cuteness factor, I think. And it's digestible. So this is not like a 300-page book, which I think is also good, by the way, for young people, right? Because I've heard the young people have shorter attention spans.
Yeah, the digital age. What is it doing?
I know. okay, so there are also different voices in this book. This is not just told in your voice. It contains writing from other people. So tell me about the thinking process there.
I wanted people to be able to pick up this book and find something in it that just saw deeply into their most private experience. I wanted them to feel supported in that. That is really at the heart of what is in masturbation shame, is you feel so alone in your sexual experience. And the aim of the book is to really communicate that you're not alone and you're not weird. You're amongst centuries and civilizations of people who touch themselves. And in order to really do that, to make every single person feel like the book saw them, I knew I couldn't do it alone. I know personally that my experience is not going to resonate with everyone. And so I needed to pull in friends and amazing people that I am so honored to have be a part of this book. For example, Rebecca Bedell is this incredible transgender queer woman poet who wrote part of the trans section, Finding Euphoria. And she managed to write almost like a love letter to a young trans person discovering their body and navigating all the difficulties of dysphoria. And she did it in a really intelligent and effective way where all the content is there for you, but it's also written with such love and such, like, I see you, I see how it's hard, I see why this could really mess up your own brain and your relationship with your body. And honestly, I am so grateful that she took this on. And that piece is essential to the book. I mean, two other authors that I'm so lucky to have be a part of this are Andrew Garza and A. Andrews. So they collaborated on the Setting Up for Solo Sex, Masturbating with a Disability section. And Andrew Garza is the host of Disability After Dark and an incredible voice in the disability sex world. A. Andrews, also an incredible voice in the sex and disability world. They had just completed their Quick and Easy Guide to Sex and Disability. And holy crap, I was so happy when they signed up to help me with this and to contribute their voice. And it's not just that they offered their perspective, they did it in such a good way. Like they managed to cover all the nitty-gritty of what it is to navigate a wheelchair, for example, or asking your caretaker to help you set up to masturbate, and all the emotions that come with it, and really holding space for people and their vulnerability in that moment. I think most importantly, it is so hard to cultivate a community around such a solo act, right? That is the heart of it. Masturbation happens with you, yourself, and your bedroom.
Or, unless you go to a masturbation party.
Unless you go to a masturbation party.
I've been to a few of those. I have, yes.
I think a goal in life, honestly. But for the most part, especially growing up, you're alone. And It is so phenomenal to me that this book is a representation of this community of people who, even though we all have different bodies, we have different perspectives, we have different skin tones, there are common themes that go throughout it. Everyone's felt weird in their own skin for different reasons. And it's pretty inspiring to see how everyone's coming together to kind of to really write this love letter to a younger self, almost. And everyone had a different younger self, obviously, but it is this message of support for how hard it was to figure out your relationship with your body, no matter what body you had.
I mean, was it the book you wish you had when you were younger and first exploring?
Yes. I think, this is going to sound like a bit of an aside, but the background behind Bang isn't just opening the conversation on masturbation. It started because in college, I looked around and so many of the people that I love deeply, myself included, had our sexual consent violated. And it was something that happens in, well, okay. So I remember freshman orientation. We were told about the blue lights on campus. So if you're being attacked by someone, if you're being raped, you go and run to this blue light and you hit the button and the campus police will be there in under 10 minutes. First of all, under 10 minutes is a long time. But second of all, that's not how sexual consent gets violated. Sexual consent gets violated in the weird, gray, murky area between intentionality and ignorance. And so many of the people that were thrown into college had never been able to practice the language of what sexual consent looks like or what your sexual experience looks like. And so this book was really also about that. It's about teaching people how to use words to talk about their sexual identity, their sexual body, their sexual desires within a safe space without the confusion of another body in the place, in that place. So yes, it was the book I wanted when I was younger. It was also the book I wanted everyone to read before college. And it's a book that I want a lot of older people to read as well.
Well,
especially parents.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you gave that statistic, but I have certainly met people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s who've never masturbated before. And so it's so this is for everyone at every kind of age level. But I think it's really interesting. I didn't know this backstory about violations of consent. And it, you know, we don't talk about it in sex education, as I said, and we don't, and it is, there is an important piece of when you develop and value and celebrate a relationship with your own sexuality, it can help you also then articulate your boundaries.
Right.
Right. It can help you articulate, this is what I want. This is what I don't want, which I think is really hard for people. And again, we don't have role models for this. We don't see this on TV or in the media. We don't get like scripts to role play and practice. So, you know, I've taught on hundreds of college campuses and people are really coming into college. It's like a bad combination of you had no sex ed and now you have all the freedom in the world.
Right. And all of the inequality and the systems of oppression.
And the power, in place. The power dynamics, right? Yeah. Yeah. So I like the idea that that's sort of like woven into the book.
Right. It's like what Adrienne Marie Brown says in Pleasure Activism, know yourself before you share yourself. Be great if that were the motto everywhere.
Right, right. No, that's really, no, it's really important. And also, I feel like one of the pieces of subtext of this book for me when I was reading it was just this acknowledgement that we don't all have the same equitable access to our own bodies. I think folks with privilege and think, oh, right, masturbation. Like, I touch myself. I don't think that people realize what oppressive systems do in our society to actually keep people from accessing pleasure, from thinking of their bodies as whole and beautiful and enough and deserving. We don't all have the same access to pleasure.
Definitely. I think that, well, I think there are booby traps everywhere, no matter if you have privilege or not.
Right.
I think that stigma's there to catch up to you wherever you are. But we are not taught to appreciate or celebrate ourselves. We are taught to try to make ourselves conform. And I think in the area of masturbation, you see that the greatest. You see this sort of questioning of, am I normal? Am I weird? Am I deviant? Am I doing this wrong? Am I supposed to be doing this? And I think that does it does intersect with if you have that self-doubt and insecurity deeper because you are marginalized in any way. In particular, if you're trans, there are even less resources in pop culture or media for you to feel normal in your own body, or if you are in a wheelchair, or if you have a physical disability of any kind. It is so important to represent images of people of all identities, sexually and non-sexually, in a very casual manner. I think one of the most important parts of having to go back to why graphic design is so important to this book, one of the most important things about having graphic design in this book was that it allowed the book to clearly depict bodies and skin colors that are often represented in the world of sex ed. There's no question about it. It's on the page. It is casual. It is out loud. It is there. And it is so powerful to see. And what is crucial about that is it acknowledges the normalcy of your body, no matter what you are, like no matter how you're oriented. You are normal in how you are. And it removes that sort of stigma of being abnormal when you're just trying to have a relationship with your own body.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's why I feel like it's the perfect gift also for, you know, there's this new generation of parents who want to be sex positive, who want to dismantle the way they grew up with and what messages they grew up with sex. But we also have to give them tools to do that, right? Yeah. We can't imagine that we grew up in a sex negative culture. And so we can't imagine that then just simply stating, I want to be a sex positive parent, we actually have like strategies for how to do that. So I feel like this is also a good thing to have in your toolbox.
Yep, that's the goal.
Well, thanks for writing this book. Thanks for kicking off Celebrating Masturbation May with me. I just really appreciate this conversation.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all you do and being such a leader in the sex ed conversation. I appreciate you and your work as well.
Thank you. Again, the book is Bang, Masturbation for All Genders and Abilities. It's published by Microcosm Publishing. You can get it where you buy books, but you can also get it at microcosm.pub, P-U-B. This is an independent, small press, and these folks are the folks that publish the books that other people won't, quite frankly. And so it's really important to support them. Also, Vic is donating a portion of the proceeds from this book to Advocates for Youth. Tell us briefly about what that is.
It's a phenomenal national organization that empowers youth to write and work on activism for positive sex ed. So whether that's HIV information, STD information, or advocating for positive sex ed programs in high schools.
Fantastic. You can find out more about the book and Vic on Instagram and Twitter at Bang for All. I love that. It's a really good Twitter name. Coming up next, I'm going to chat with my friend Tanya. We're going to keep the conversation going about jerking off and pleasuring ourselves. Plus, she's going to give us her honest review of one of the Satisfyer products. It's called the Curvy. So stay with us.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are going to keep the discussion going. And I've invited a dear person in my life, Tanya. Did you want to use a pseudonym, Tanya?
No, Tanya's fine.
Right, I'm glad I asked that right now.
I'm yes, that Tanya all over the internet. So it's
okay.
All good.
Yes, that Tanya to join me. And because I wanted to talk to a real person. I've been talking to experts for weeks about things, and I want to talk to you about masturbating. What's your masturbation situation right now?
So my situation with masturbation is that it's not something I do very often. I think about it. And sometimes I will even, as I'm waking up, I'll be thinking, you know what? I'm going to masturbate as soon as I wake up. By the time I actually wake up, I've forgotten or I've gotten busy. And not busy when I'm first waking up, but I'll just, I don't know, just forget about it. Most of the time.
I appreciate you being honest, because I think this is like true for a bunch of people, right? Is that, and especially because I know that you're partnered, and I think especially for partnered people, it's like sometimes people are like, why would I prioritize that if I'm having these other sexual experiences? Or just life gets so busy that it's not at the top of my to-do list, or it's not even on my to-do list. I don't know if everyone has a to-do list. I do, and I would put masturbation on there. To literally remind myself and prompt myself, because again, like, I don't have a lot of spontaneous desire anymore. I am in menopause. I am going to be 50 in like days from now. Thanks for all your birthday wishes, everyone. And so I kind of have to prompt myself to have solo or partnered sex. And then once I get into it, I'm good. And once I get into it, I experience desire, I experience arousal, but I have to kind of jumpstart it by saying like, let's do this. Right?
Exactly the same. Like, and even though I'm partnered, I don't know when the last time he and I had sex was. It's probably been a couple of months. I know that I've masturbated at least once, maybe twice since then. And we're both on antidepressants and just don't think about it. You know, it just doesn't happen. But we get into great when we do it. But getting there is, I don't know, it's just not a priority.
That's the other thing about antidepressants, especially if you're in the SSRI class, which is the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Mm-hmm. Ask your doctor if your drug is an SSRI. So all the SSRIs have this side effect, have sexual side effects. Sometimes people have trouble getting aroused. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people feel dampened desire, mm-hmm. like no spontaneous desire. Sometimes people have trouble having orgasms, or it takes longer for them to have an orgasm, or they can't have an orgasm. I experience all of these side effects.
Same way. Same.
But I also want to stay sane. I'm also wondering, like, just we aren't at the end of the pandemic, whatever the end is. And if the pandemic has had an effect on your sex drive.
Probably. I mean, I think so. I'm working from home and he is not. So I'm home all the time. So my environment doesn't really change a whole lot. So I don't get a lot of outside stimulus for the most point. And I don't watch porn or look at porn or anything like that. So I don't really have a lot of incoming stimulus to make me want to. Since we're spending so much time together now, I mean, we always really did, but now we're together all the time, except when he's at work.
You have no choice.
Yeah. it's like, it just doesn't occur to us. I don't know. I remember the last time we had sex, I was like, wow, this is great. Why don't we do this more often? And he's like, I don't know, because we're both depressed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So probably the pandemic has had an effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But Satisfyer sent me this big box of goodies, and it was literally so many vibrators that I was like, I think I should share the love on this. And I want to send this to someone who's going to appreciate it.
Yes.
So I thought of you and I sent you the Satisfyer Curvy 2 Plus.
Yes.
And we actually talked about it off air. And then that's why I was like, oh, we've got to go on the air and talk about this.
Absolutely.
Because I can, you know, tell the people at home all all day long that these are fun toys, but I think they need to hear it from real people.
I've been telling everybody who will listen. How awesome is it? It's so good. So good.
Let me start though with one question before, which is if you had your choice of vibrator, or if you have a vibrator that you usually use, tell me what type of vibrator that usually is.
That's actually a very easy question because there have been four. I've had more, but there have been like four go-to vibrators. One got discontinued years ago. It was called Girl Toys or something. I can't even remember. And then it was the Hitachi because, you know, everybody has the Hitachi. But the Hitachi was always really strong and powerful, and I had to use an attachment that I call Gonzo. Because that's what it has, like a hooked, like nose kind of looking thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that one.
To pinpoint. Yes. Had to use it with that. And that was my go-to for, I don't know, years and years. And then my girlfriend gave me a Lilo Sona Cruise. And it is a clit-sucking vibrator. And oh my God. The day she brought it over and she used it on me, within 5 seconds, I was screaming and orgasming and getting off. And that was my go-to. That was the only thing I used. And then I got the Satisfier. And now that is literally the only one I use. I don't even think about the Sona anymore, except to say I don't miss you, because it's just... I can give you a point by point comparison of how and why one is better than the other. It's amazing.
Okay, so the reason I asked is because I think I knew about the Hitachi. Don't ask me how I know about. Okay, but I think you might knew about the Hitachi, and the Hitachi Magic Wand is big. It's a wand style vibrator. It's different technology. It's basically a motor, and it's a very powerful motor.
Yes.
And so I always wondered, okay, if you're into the Hitachi, if the Hitachi can like make you come, can you also get into this entirely different technology, which is, I think sometimes they call it whisper suction. It's not quite suction. That's not exactly the word.
Pulse. I've also referred to it as pulsing technology.
Pulsing technology. Yeah. And so basically there's like a hole on the end of whatever kind you get. There's a hole on the end of it. And it sort of, it sings to the clit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's just say that. It kind of sings to the clit.
Definitely.
So, and that's a very different thing, right? Than a huge burr.
Absolutely. Totally just, different.
That's the sound of the Hitachi people against my vulva. So tell me, like, so was there a learning curve for you to get into this different technology? How does it feel?
I mean, I'm not even kidding. It was like an instant 5 seconds. Within 5 seconds, I was having an orgasm. And I've never... ever been somebody to get off so quickly. So it was just, I there wasn't a learning curve because it just happened. It was almost spontaneous as soon as she put it on me. I've never experienced anything like that before.
Wow.
Yeah.
And does it feel, some people say it mimics oral sex. It feels like someone's going down on you.
It's hard for me to say that because I know that that's kind of a go-to thing in oral, but I've never been one to really like having my clit sucked on like that, especially not as intensely as this is. So It's probably like that, but because it starts off, even on the lowest level, it starts off so high that it would, the only thing I could compare it to was maybe if you could cut to like a 5 minute mark of somebody had been sucking on my clit that whole time, and then boom, right. You get that intensity.
Oh. Maybe. Yeah, it's so interesting that you say that, because I can't have an orgasm from someone going down on me.
Mm-mm.
Now, I mean, like maybe back in the day when I was like at my sexual peak or whatever, and someone was like exceptionally gifted, great. But it's just not my go-to thing, you know what I mean? Which I know it is Same. For so many people, yeah. especially people with vulvas. And so before I tried this, I thought, well, if this is going to feel like oral sex, I don't think it's going to get me off. But you're right. It doesn't feel exactly like oral yeah. sex. It's a different sensation. And that's why it's sometimes so hard to describe. It's like not quite sucking. It's definitely not vibrating, but there's movement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so do you think, does it take you like just an instant to get off with it?
Yes. However, with the Satisfier, the difference is on the lowest setting, it was still bam, 5 seconds, I'm getting off. It's like it's ripping the orgasm out of me, whether I wanted it or not. With the Curvy starts off really low. Like you can almost barely notice it at first, and you can slowly ramp it up. And I really, really like that about it because I could pace how my orgasm went as opposed to it being literally ripped from my body in 5 seconds.
Right, right.
So I can start off really super low and just keep just edging it up and edging it up and edging it up until I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, I want to come now. Boom. And then I'll crank it up a little bit. And then it's amazing.
Okay. You can't see her face, but I can, listeners. And it was like a very blissed out face. It was funny. You heard it in her voice, but no, but I think that's also a good point, which is for folks who have trouble with arousal, right? You can't. So if someone says, I'm having trouble with arousal, right? So I'm in a kind of neutral, let's say I'm in a neutral spot, which like Emily Nagoski writes about in Right. As You Are. You can't like put the Hitachi Magic Wand or another very powerful vibrator like on your vulva. It feels totally overwhelming. It's too sensitive. It doesn't feel good. It's like a mood killer, actually.
Yeah, it really is.
So what I like about sort of ramping up to something is you can start out in that neutral space and you don't have to like hit it so hard,
exactly. right?
You're like sort of coaxing.
Yes.
Right? Which I think especially people with vulvas need more coaxing, right?
Definitely.
We need a little bit more build up. Not all of us. Hashtag not all vulvas. not all clits. But a lot of us do. I mean, a lot of us do.
I definitely
and
do.
So it's like worth it to start in that like very small place. I like your description of how you kind of build. I feel like the same thing because I feel like I have other vibrators where I can be like manually stimulating myself and then it's like, oh, I want to come. Mm-hmm. So it's like grab the vibrator. Mm-hmm. But this isn't like that. It's like it's a much different experience.
It's so different. And it's different for me in that every other vibrator I've ever used, I never wanted to go through the build up to it with the vibrator. By the time right. I'm at the point where I want to use the vibrator, I want it on high. I want it to hit hard and I want to come and I want to be done with it.
And okay. So you and me, we're on the same page. Yes. On this.
And likewise, yes. as soon as I come, I want it off of me because at that point I'm overstimulated with the Satisfier. I can just leave the Satisfier. And the only reason I stop is because I feel like my heart is going to explode because I'm going to just come to death. It's so good. And it's the only, well, I think I was able to squeak out maybe another orgasm or two with it. I'm not a multiple person in general. It's only been within the last couple of years I've been able to have multiple orgasms at all. But with the Curvy, I can just leave it on and just, it actually kind of holds itself in place because of the way it's shaped. I can just leave it there or squeeze my legs together and hold it. And I can continue to orgasm and orgasm and orgasm. I'm not at a place where I can distinguish how many orgasms there have been, but I definitely know it's more than the one. And I don't all of a sudden feel like, okay, get it off me. I'm done. Get it away from me. I can just keep going unless I'm afraid I'm going to die.
It's different. It's different for that reason. It totally is. I love that story though. I love, well, I just love the idea that we've got these options, right?
Yes.
Of this sort of like boom, boom, or the, let's just spend a Sunday afternoon, like getting into it, which I just think is really important. You know, I think it's important for us to have a sexual relationship with ourselves to, you know, cultivate that. And I think it helps when you have at least a selection of pleasure products, right?
Agreed.
So that you can sort of mix it up and you can have these like different moods and these different experiences. So it doesn't have to be sort of the same all the time. I feel like we can fall into ruts.
Oh, definitely.
And I feel like when I get something new, it's good because it just like switches me up and makes me think, oh wait, this is like something different than I'm used to doing. And that keeps you kind of on your toes.
Yeah. I did try to go back once since having the Satisfyer and I didn't like it. It was just way too much. I haven't touched it since then. I don't even know where it is.
Does the sauna vibrate? Does the sauna vibrate?
No, it's another clit sucking one.
Same thing,
one.
Just a sucking one.
But
okay.
It's, so the difference is the sauna has a very, very narrow, shallow cup. If my clit were the tip of my finger, it would go down maybe a centimeter, just getting the tip. On the curvy, on the Satisfyer, I can put my whole pinky finger all the way up inside the hole. The hole is wider and it's deeper. And so it just feels different. Like the sauna, I think, actually touches my clit as it does its little pulse thing. The curvy does not touch my clit at all, not even around the edge. It's totally just like pulsating air vibrations.
Like right above it.
Well, I mean, like a pinky length above it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what the technology is or exactly where the motor is, but it does not actually touch my clit at all, which is great.
Right.
So I don't get that oversensitivity.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally hear that. I totally hear that. And I also like the amount of room you have, because I also need to, you know, we need to be reminded that people have different size clits.
Yes.
And also that the clit grows and gets erect as we get turned on. And so I feel like if there's not enough room and space, that's not going to feel good either.
And that's what happens. The hole is so shallow that there is no room for growth. If you already have a big clit to start off with, then you probably are not going to like it at all. But with the curvy, there's plenty of room. And I think because there's so much room for growth, I would swear that the last time that there was actually some legit suction on my clit the last time, and it's amazing.
It was more of a spoken word.
Yes, absolutely. it was a spoken word. Shouting.
Good. That's a good description. Well, Tanya, thanks for joining me and being so fucking frank and honest, which you know I really appreciate. I knew that about you before, but I'm just appreciating that you're doing it like on the, you know, in people's ears.
You're welcome.
Do you want people to find you online? Should we tell them how? Or do you just want to say, hey, bye. Whoever knows me knows me.
Sure. You can find me. I'm on Twitter, not very often, at T is for TMI. And if, you know, you need some extra stimulation, you can look at josiebombshell.com.
Oh, okay. So good. It's good
website.
That we got a plug in there. Okay.
Yeah.
And again, I want to thank Satisfyer, who has sponsored this entire episode in order to celebrate Masturbation May with us. And I want to tell you one more time about the deal they're offering. It's 40% off and free shipping for all their app-enabled devices when you go to satisfyer.com and enter the code Tristan40, the number 40, at checkout. Again, if you are looking for one of these great devices, and we just talked about one of them, go to Satisfyer, and let me spell it for you, SATISFYER.com, and use code Tristan40 for 40% off and free shipping. I want to shout out my engineer and editor, A-Rod, at FTC Designs. You can follow him on Twitter at FTC_designs. New episodes go up on podcast platforms on Mondays. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Tristan Taramino. As I said, this is my birthday week, so I'm going to be excited to celebrate, well, a big one, because I'm 50. Now, because of COVID, I'm not having a huge blowout party, but I've decided at some point in my 50s, I will have a big party. Just not yet. Until next time, take some time to talk about sex out loud.